Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde să plec acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Ce m-ai adus să mă arzi aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut nu?
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
toți. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Well, welcome, welcome once more to the Light of Truth radio broadcast, and thank you for joining us. Yes, we're back, we're live, and we're ready to get at it, as the saying goes. I am Michael Boldea, your host, and even though I only missed a week of broadcasting, I was away from the microphone, I was away from an internet connection. Once in a while, I just go away and unplug, and I brought my family with me, and it was real fun, and my daughter's a hoot, so it really did recharge the batteries, but it seems as though we've been gone forever, and we were only gone for a week. Maybe it's just, I guess, the shifting perception that comes with age, but it just, I don't know. It doesn't seem like so many things were going on all at once when I was growing up. Within the span of 14 days or so, it's been one thing after another, some of them with prophetic underpinnings even, and all of them worthy of discussion in their own right. I mean, even when I was growing up, they had the 24-hour news cycle, but it wasn't as full as it is today. It seems as though the closer we get to the inevitable end of all things, the madder the world gets. And by madder, I don't mean angry, I mean insane. From the new law that Vladimir Putin just passed in Russia, essentially making it illegal for Protestants to proselytize. Just let that sink in. It is now, or at least as of July 20th, it will be a crime for believers to preach the gospel on the street corner in Russia, to invite someone to a crusade by email or to invite them into their home to speak about Jesus. So from that little gem being passed to the shootings in Dallas, to the general unrest throughout the country, to the fact that our beloved and blindfolded Lady Justice tripped and fell on her own sword, I guess, all these things deserve our time and they deserve our discussion, because it's simply fascinating to me how quickly a nation can become a banana republic when there are no adults running the place. Before we get into it, though, I want to say happy birthday to my friend Gino. I don't know how old he turned today, but he's 1 year older, so happy birthday, Gene. Now, let's just say that our fall as a nation is not taking as long as the fall of the Roman Empire did. We're not doing this thing gradually. We're oiling the skids and putting rockets on the back, trying to get to the bottom faster than any civilization that came before us. It's a scary thing to behold, especially if you're a little removed from it. I'm here in Romania. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I just saw some really horrible breaking news ticking by, and we're going to cover that too. But I get to look at the situation from afar, and what's happening in America right now and what's happening throughout the world. These are the signs of the end times. You can't really deny it anymore, and anybody that chooses to bury their head in the sand and pretend as though these are not the days is fooling themselves. Now, since today, we'll have all these things to discuss. We have so much to talk about, as well as some of your questions. Chances are better than good that we will likely not have any time to get into our discussion of Timothy. But fret not. We will commence with Timothy on next week's program. I will be here. I will be live. And I have no plans to be away at least anytime soon. Just so you get caught up to speed, before we get into any of the topics that I mentioned, and this just happened. It was, I guess the saying is hot off the presses. The news just announced, at least here in Romania, that over 60 individuals, human beings, over 60 are presumed dead in Nice, France, and there are also reports of fires in Paris near the Eiffel Tower. So the religion of peace is at it again, and they don't seem like they want to stop. They don't seem like they want to hold back. It seems they're going at this full throttle. So that's the latest that I've been able to gather. Over 60 dead in Nice. And fires at the Eiffel Tower. So that is, in a nutshell, another portrait of peace, if you will. Now, since this is the thing that I've been getting most emails about, I want to cover this topic first. Since I'm likely to shed a little light on why it's happening, because I have a very unique perspective, I would say, I want to begin today's program with what happened in Russia earlier this past week and explain to you why it's happening. And my fear and my concern is that other nations such as Romania and other Eastern Bloc countries or former Eastern Bloc countries will follow suit. For those of you who don't know what happened, for those of you that don't, you know, search the news every 5 minutes, Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, just signed a new package of amendments into law that essentially prohibit anyone from sharing their faith in their homes, online, or anywhere else except recognized church buildings. Now, since it's worth a read, I'm going to go through some of the article posted on ChristianityToday.com. And then give you my take on this whole thing and why I believe this sort of legislation will continue to spread outward, especially in countries that have one predominant majority faith, such as Russia, which is 75% Russian Orthodox compared to 1% Protestant. So this article is a bit wordy, but as I said, it's worth a read. Not only to understand what exactly is going on in Russia, but how all the, for lack of a better term, all the nut burgers in the church that keep going on about obeying the laws of the land, and if the law of the land says a thing, it supersedes everything else, can effectively be silenced by one signature of a power-hungry tyrant. Because this was the thing that came up when homosexual marriage was passed. Well, it's the law of the land now. I guess we shouldn't oppose it anymore. Ignorance breeds foolishness. And we are living in an age where there has never been a more ignorant generation in the history of the world. And I'm speaking about people in the church. They're ignorant of the Word of God. They're ignorant of what the Bible says regarding the most basic things. They're ignorant of the fundamental doctrines of Christ. But they beat their chest as though they have attained wisdom itself. Now, again, if this issue had no further ramifications, and if it didn't implicate the church as a whole and what the Word of God says is coming to the entire world, this wouldn't be such a big deal. But what Putin just did does impact the entire church. It does have global ramifications, or at least it will shortly. So we ought to be aware of these things so that when they come to our shores, we will be able to identify them and stand against them. Now, July 8th is when this article was put out, and it says, this week, Russian President Vladimir Putin approved a package of anti-terrorism laws. So here we go. Preaching Jesus is now a terrorist act in the eyes of the Russian government. So the package that was passed was anti-terrorism laws that usher in tighter restrictions on missionary activity and evangelism. Now, despite prayers and protests from religious leaders and human rights advocates, the Kremlin announced Putin's approval yesterday. Now, the amendments, including laws against sharing faith, and just listen to me, the amendments, including laws against sharing faith in homes, online, or anywhere but recognized church buildings, go into effect July 20th. I'm going to read that sentence again because it is all-encompassing. The amendments, including laws against sharing faith in homes, online, or anywhere but recognized church buildings, go into effect July 20th. Though opponents to the new measures hope to eventually appeal in court or elect legislators to amend them, they have begun to prepare their communities for life under the new rules, reported a news service, a Christian outlet that reported in the region. Now, Protestants and religious minorities small enough to gather in homes fear that they will be most affected. And their fear is founded. This is not an illegitimate fear. It's very legitimate because this law is so broad and it's so loosely worded that anyone doing anything remotely religious outside of a church building can be prosecuted now. It says here, last month, the local police officer came to a home where a group of Pentecostals meet each Sunday. Konstantin Bendis, deputy bishop of the Pentecostal Union, told Forum 18, With a contented expression, he told them, "Now they're adopting the law. I'll drive you all out of here. I reckon we should now fear such zealous enforcement." Again, his fear is not unfounded. It is a legitimate fear because now, under the umbrella and the guise of law, these people who hate Christians and especially Protestants will have license to do violence to them, to harass them, to visit their homes, to beat them up, to imprison them, and many, many other things. This is how it was back in the day. This is how it was back during the communist days when you were not allowed to express your faith, when you were not allowed to even possess a Bible. The article continues and it says, "There are potentially very wide sweeping ramifications to this law." Joel Griffith of the Slavic Gospel Association said in a Mission Network news report, "It just depends on, again, how it is going to be enforced. And that is a very huge question mark." Let me just save you the drama and tell you that it will be enforced. Because the people behind this, namely the Orthodox Church, want it to be enforced. And apparently they have enough political clout and they have enough political influence that this law got passed. And it's pointless to assert that kind of influence on a president to simply pass a law that will not be enforced. So yes, this law will be enforced to its maximum. Now, earlier reporting, and this was in June 29th, it says Christians in Russia won't be allowed to email their friends an invitation to church or to evangelize in their own homes if Russia's newest set of surveillance and anti-terrorism laws are enacted. Well, it passed. They've been enacted. The proposed laws, considered the country's most restrictive measures in post-Soviet history, place broad limitations on missionary work, including preaching, teaching, and engaging in any activity designed to recruit people into a religious group. Are we beginning to see the picture coming together? Are we beginning to see what's about to descend on Russia after years of freedom? The article continues and it says, "To share their faith, citizens must secure a government permit through a registered religious organization, and they cannot evangelize anywhere besides churches and other religious sites. The restrictions even apply to activity in private residences and online." So, as of July 20th, if you go online and say, "Jesus is Lord," by Russian law, you could be prosecuted. This week, Russia's Protestant minority, estimated around 1% of the population, prayed, fasted, and sent petitions to President Vladimir Putin, who will have to approve the measures before they become official. Most evangelicals, leaders from all seven denominations, have expressed concerns. Sergei Rakuba, president of Mission Eurasia and a former Moscow church planter, told CT, "They're calling on the global Christian community to pray that Putin can intervene and God can miraculously work in this process." Apparently, this article is earlier than the June or July 8th article that said the law passed. The article continues and it says, "Following a wave of Russian nationalist propaganda, The laws passed almost unanimously in the Duma, the upper house, on Friday, and in the Federation Council, the lower house, today. If this legislation is approved, and it has been, the religious situation in the country will grow considerably more complicated, and many believers will find themselves in exile and subjected to reprisals because of our faith, wrote Oleg Goncharov, spokesman of the Seventh-day Adventist Euro-Asia Division, in an open letter. Proposed by United Russia party lawmaker Irina Yarovaya, the law appears to target religious groups, and listen to this, outside the Russian Orthodox Church. So the national religion is Russian Orthodoxy, and the law appears to target religious groups outside the Russian Orthodox Church because it defines missionary activities as religious practices to spread a faith beyond its members. If that is interpreted as the Moscow Patriarchate is likely to do, it will mean the Orthodox Church can go after ethnic Russians, but no other church will be allowed to, according to Frank Goebel, an expert on religious and ethnic issues in the region. Russian nationalist identity remains tied up with the Russian Orthodox Church. The Russian Orthodox Church is part of a bulwark of Russian nationalism stirred up by Vladimir Putin, David Aikman, history professor and foreign affairs expert, told CT. Everything that undermines that action is a real threat, whether that's evangelical Protestant missionaries or anything else. Sergei Ryakovsky, head of the Protestant Churches of Russia, and several other evangelical leaders called the law a violation of religious freedom and personal conscience in a letter to Putin posted on Russian site portal Credo. And I'm sure that Putin took the letter into account, as evidenced by the fact that the law passed. The obligation of every believer to have a special permit to spread his or her beliefs, as well as hand out religious literature and material outside of places of worship and used structures, is not only absurd and offensive, a letter said, but also creates the basis for mass persecution of believers for violating these provisions. And herein, we have the prophetic underpinning, because I'm going to talk about this a little later. It was prophesied at least 25 years ago, if not more, in Romania and in Russia, that persecution would return. And when these words were given, the church laughed. The church mocked. People that called themselves Christians shook their heads and go, no, we will never return to this. We would never allow it. Well, by the stroke of a pen, it is now illegal as of July 20th in Russia to speak about your faith in your home, online, on the street, anywhere else except churches. Soviet history shows us how many people have been persecuted for spreading the word of God. Stalin-era religious restrictions, including outlawing religious activity outside of Sunday services in registered churches and banning parents from teaching faith to their kids, yes, that was happening and it will return, remained on the books until the collapse of the Soviet Union through the government enforced, though the government enforced them only selectively. Of course they did. Some have questioned whether the government could or would monitor religious activity in private Christian homes. Are you hearing this? They say that you cannot proselytize in your own home. And the question is, how exactly would they know if you're proselytizing in your own home? And so the reasonable and logical conclusion that people come to is maybe we're being listened to. How else would they know? And this Mr. Aikman continues his oratory, and he says, I don't think that you can overestimate the Russian government's willingness to exert control. If history is any indication, the proposed regulations reveal a pattern of creeping totalitarianism in the country, he said. The so-called Big Brother laws also introduce widespread surveillance of online activity, including requiring encrypted apps to give the government the power to decode them and assigning stronger punishments for extremism and terrorism. So what they have done, essentially, is that they've taken every other denomination and faith except for the Russian Orthodox Church, lumped it all together with Islam and all the others, and called them extremist and terroristic. So this is where we are in Russia today. And the article continues for a little while longer, and it says the proposal is an attack on freedom of expression, freedom of conscience, and the right to privacy that gives law enforcement unreasonably broad powers. And the reason the wording of the law is so broad is because they will be very selective in whom they go after. And they're going to go after the pastors, and they're going to go after the evangelists, and they're going to go after those that have the power of God, because they're not after the small fish. If you strike the shepherd, chances are the sheep will scatter. And so they've made the wording of this law so broad that it can apply to anyone at any time. If passed, it says, and it has passed, the anti-evangelism law carries fines up to $780 for an individual and $15,500 for an organization. Foreign visitors, those of you who are planning mission trips to Russia, listen please. Foreign visitors who violate the law face deportation. Russia has already moved to contain foreign missionaries. The foreign agent law, adopted in 2012, requires groups from abroad to file detailed paperwork and be subject to government audits and raids. Since then, the NGO sector has shrunk by a third, according to government statistics. In Moscow, we share an office with 24 organizations. Not a single foreign expatriate mission is there now. See, they've reached their objective already, but they want to tighten the noose. They've already made it so that no foreign expatriate mission is there now, but they're not satisfied with that. They're not content with it. They want to tighten the noose a little more and make it so that even locals, even those that are Russian-born and bred, cannot speak of their faith to others. And the way they did this, the way they got foreign missionaries not to come back, was simple. Missionaries could not return to Russia because they could not renew their visas. It is next to impossible to get registration as a foreign organization today. And the article ends, and it says, while Russia's evangelicals pray that the proposed regulations are amended or vetoed, they have gone underground before, and they'll be willing to do it again. They say, if it will come to it, it's not going to stop us from worshiping and sharing our faith, he wrote. The Great Commission isn't just for a time of freedom, and this is a wise man. Like I said, wordy article, but I believe it was worth a read. So let's boil this down. Get to brass tacks, as the kids like to say. Get to the root of why Vladimir Putin signed this bill into law. Now, as I've said, Protestants make up 1% of the Russian population. The Orthodox Church makes up about 75% of the Russian population, and they exert tremendous influence on the political system in Russia. There's no such thing as separation of church and state in Russia. The simple answer as to why this happened is that the Pharisees in the Orthodox Church didn't want any competition. And so they brought pressure to bear on Putin to make it so. Vladimir Putin is a political animal with very ambitious goals. And the only way that he can achieve his goals is by having the full faith and full support of the Russian people behind him. And the only way he can have the full faith and the full support of the Russian people behind him is if he has the full faith and support of the Russian Orthodox Church. See, the deal that Putin struck, politically speaking, was a very smart one. It is a certainty that it was the Orthodox Church who approached him on this matter. And he went along because, as far as he's concerned, there's no downside to this. So what does this mean for Christians in Russia? Well, it means that they are once more outcasts. It means that they must once more go into hiding. It means that even inviting a family member or a friend to a church service is now tantamount to breaking the law in Russia, at least starting in a few days on July 20th. Now, if the Orthodox Church in Russia is anything like in Romania, and I don't have any reason to doubt that they're very similar, since the fall of communism, at least the Romanian Orthodox Church has been hemorrhaging members. People see the difference, and the difference is clear between what we do for the community and what we do for the people and what the Orthodox Church does for the community. You know what? At a certain point, one tends to get fed up with the priest refusing to bury a loved one if you don't pay up. And people are beginning to juxtapose that with the selflessness with which we and others like us approach ministry. And people are drawn to that selflessness. They're drawn to the idea of goodness. So the Orthodox Church has essentially silenced dissent on the matter of Christian faith. And if anyone is searching for truth, there will be no truth to be had. It's like going to the grocery store and finding only one type of cereal. If you have no other options, you're going to buy that one type of cereal, even if you know something's off with it and you don't like the way it tastes. You see, these big moves by major religious entities will continue to play out throughout the world. And it will be at the expense of true believers, and it will be at the expense of followers of Christ. I think very shortly you will begin to hear horror stories coming out of Russia once again. Stories of persecution of citizens taking the law into their own hands and doing their utmost to ensure that no one steps outside the bounds of the new rules. Because the dirty little secret is that these citizens will be egged on by their priests. Because this is what they do. This is what they've always done since the time of Jesus. This is what Pharisees do. They see an issue that they can't compete with. They see something new that they cannot explain. So their visceral reaction to it is to beat it into submission, silence it, or kill it. As I said, we knew this was coming. We've known it since the first wisps of freedom in the early 90s because the Lord spoke it, both in Russia and here in Romania, that we would have freedom for a season. Then we would return to the days of persecution and hardship. This is the beginning of that. It's going to get a lot worse, both in Russia and, I fear, Romania and other Eastern European nations as well. So I hope I've adequately explained what's going on in Russia, because a lot of you have written me about it. Now, closer to home, even though I'm still in Romania, it's hard to miss what's been happening in America. Yes, I do know of the 5 dead law enforcement officers in Dallas. I also know of the protests throughout the country. And since I've gotten a few emails asking what my take on all of this was and what I thought, well, here goes my take, for better or worse. But before that, I want to tell you a little story, just to put things into perspective a smidge. Those of you who know me know that I don't look like a dainty sort of lad, especially in the last couple years when I've taken to shaving my head because I didn't see the point of spending $15 on haircuts anymore. I tend to look somewhat menacing in the right light. Now, for those of you who know my friend Gino, well, you know, he's all white. He's Germanic. He's very mild looking and he's very inoffensive looking. Well, me and Gino, as we were wont to do back before Victoria came, before I became a dad, we were driving. We drove a lot back then, and we were driving to Seattle Airport, if memory serves. And it was one morning around 2 a.m. And I was doing the driving, and Gino was sleeping in the passenger seat. And I got pulled over by the police. Now, Gino sleeps through the flashing lights. He sleeps through the car pulling over and stopping. But the instant the police officer shone his flashlight through the window, Gino woke up, and because he wasn't wearing his seatbelt, he instinctively reached to put it on. Now, the officer's flashlight flashed off the silver buckle of the seatbelt. And I guarantee you, the officer didn't wait to see whether Gino was white. He didn't notice that I was darker. In an instant, he pulled his gun, he trained it on Gino, and simply said, "Freeze." Now, to his credit, Gino froze. He froze like a fat kid getting caught raiding the fridge for the last piece of chocolate cake. I mean, he froze. And the only thing Gino could muster was, "I was just trying to put on my seatbelt." And after that, the situation de-escalated. And Gino got a ticket for not wearing his seatbelt. But had he not complied, had he not frozen, it could have ended very badly. So, what's the point of this jaunt down memory lane? The point is this. I don't think that any police officer rolls out of bed one morning thinking, "I'm going to kill me somebody today." They do, however, want to get back home every end of shift. They do want to hug their children. They do want to have dinner with their wives. The officer saw a perceived threat and he pulled his gun. And Gino was smart enough to freeze when the officer told him to do it. It had nothing to do with Gino's pale complexion or my dark skin tone. Officers are trained to react. It was 2 a.m. He was flashing his light inside the car and he saw silver. He saw something reflecting. He saw metal. And his mind went to the worst possible explanation. He's got a gun. Like I said, I don't look like your typical preacher. And yes, I've gotten stopped by police on more than one occasion. But it has never escalated beyond, at most, a ticket. Because I comply with the request of law enforcement. Whether it's to keep my hands on the steering wheel or to step out of my car, whatever else they ask me to do, I do. I'm going to say this, and it's going to anger some of you, but if you insist on living the thug life, you have to assume the risk of dying a thug death. What I find distasteful and downright cringeworthy are the race-baiting pimps that are out in full force talking about systematic racism and how the white man's keeping them down, and all the while they're flying around in private jets and have multi-million dollar homes. Look, I don't care who you are. If you allow other people's opinion of you to define who you are, then you're simply a weak-willed individual, and I feel sorry for you. Look, I'm darker skinned than most Romanians. If I don't shave for a couple days, I give off the appearance of a gypsy because of my olive complexion. Now, in my country, in Romania, gypsies are universally disliked. They're even hated by everyone here. So I've been called a crow before, which is a derogatory term for a gypsy. I've been followed around in stores to see if I don't steal anything or shoplift, and it never bothered me because it is my supreme pleasure to prove people wrong about what they perceive me to be or what they perceive my character to be. Look, I wasn't going to say this, but since we're here, I might as well make the rest of you angry. Look, I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in a gang-infested neighborhood. Everyone I knew in my neighborhood growing up until about the age of 20 did something illicit to earn extra cash. They either boosted cars and sold them to chop shops or stole car stereos or airbags or did the food stamp shuffle where, you know, you buy food stamps from people for 50 cents on the dollar because you couldn't buy alcohol or cigarettes with food stamps back then. And all the kids I knew back then flashed cash on a consistent basis. And I'm going to tell you this with all requisite honesty. For a 16-year-old kid, it's very tempting to have a grand or two in your pocket for 30 minutes worth of work. It sure beats flipping rat burgers and slinging fries at Mickey D's. Now, the only reason I didn't dabble in these things, the only reason I stayed away was because I had an anchor in my life. I had my dad and I had my grandpa, and they kept me on the straight and narrow. But I'd like to say it was my 16-year-old saintly character, but I'd be lying. It was tempting. Here, everybody I knew had wads of $100 bills, and I had $2 in my pocket. And I knew they weren't as smart as I was. Look, it wasn't my making the right decisions when I was a teenager. It was having people in my life who kept me tethered to virtue and to goodness. Look, if not for my dad and my grandpa, I could just as easily have ended up in prison or worse, because I knew a lot of guys who got pinched, who got dead, because of the choices that they made in life. That's just the way it is. We have systematically destroyed the family in this country. And now we're seeing the after effects of this endeavor. Look, thug life's attractive because slinging dope on a street corner is lucrative for a 13, 14, 15, even 20-year-old who doesn't know how to read or write. And once they get a taste, they don't want to give it up. They protect their turf. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to shed a tear over individuals who got dead because they decided to venture outside the bounds of the law, or because they decided to resist arrest, or because they decided not to cooperate, or whatever else. There are truly worthwhile cases to shed tears over. Like the little six-year-old girl in Milwaukee, which is a stone's throw away from where I live in the States, who got shot and killed on the playground because two rival gangs decided to have a gunfight at the park on a warm afternoon. Or the nine-year-old who got hit in the head and killed by a stray bullet while watching cartoons in her living room, also in Milwaukee. Look, I don't even have to venture out to Chicago, which is 2 hours away from where I live, to find story after story that makes the heart bleed and the eyes water. But no, I have no tears for thug wannabes who decide this is the day they're going to make their last stand. Look, as long as we make heroes of criminals, as long as thugs are the benchmark to which we aspire, these things will continue to happen over and over and over again. I don't know, maybe, just maybe, let's try, you know, looking up to individuals like Thomas Sowell or Dr. Ben Carson or Robert Johnson or Ursula Burns, or yes, why not, even someone like Herman Cain. He took a fledgling company and made something of it. Why not look up to Herman Cain? Why not honor men and women of accomplishment rather than honoring bottom feeders who snatch souls as though they were ordering breakfast? And I know I'm going to get mail for this, and I don't care because it's the truth. No matter how you slice it, racism is a two-way street. White people can be racist, brown people can be racist, yellow people can be racist, and yes, even black people can be racist. If we can't agree that all lives matter regardless of ethnicity or skin color, then we have a screw loose and that's all there is to it. When you're screaming at the top of your lungs that we should start killing white babies, I think you've pretty much lost your argument. No matter how much validity there was to it. And yet the government foments this lunacy. The mass media is loving it. And people are dying because of it. Look, I'm just going to say this and stop here because I don't want to take up the rest of my time just talking about this topic. If the color of one's skin and not the content of their character gives you reason for pause or stirs hatred in you, then I pity you and you need help. You see, this is the beauty of belonging to the family of God and of seeing only Jesus in our fellow brothers and sisters. I may be a bit olive-skinned, but you know what? My Anglo brothers accept me with open arms. I may look a bit rough around the edges and seem like I belong to some Mexican gang, but the content of my character outweighs my rough appearance. Look, it's the division in this nation that is systematic. And there is a nefarious purpose behind it. And since there has never been a shortage of useful idiots in this country, it's just going to get worse and worse and continue to get fomented. Look, police officers have every right to want to get home every night and kiss their kids. They're trained to perceive threats and react. The sad reality is that a lot of heartache and a lot of death can be avoided if people simply complied. There's time to go file a complaint after the fact if you feel as though your rights have been, I don't know, infringed upon. When the cop is standing there with a gun drawn, that is not the time to reach for the piece in your waistband. That is not the time to try to wrestle the cop to the ground and take his gun away. It never ends well. And again, this sort of public demonstration with the requisite violence sprinkled in is only the beginning of what will ultimately lead to a revolution in America. Now, considering the fact that this was prophesied over 30 years ago, seeing these things play out on our television screens is somewhat daunting. Now, for those of you who have not a clue what I'm talking about, I'm talking about a prophecy given to my grandfather, of all people, in 1984 regarding the future of America and the fact that its ultimate destruction would begin with an internal revolution or a civil war in the middle of the country. Now, although we might not be there yet, eventually one of these lit matches will sail true and the powder keg will go up in flames. Now, you can find my grandfather's testimony, and yes, I was the one translating for him, on YouTube if you look. And it's worth a listen because we are living the times that were prophesied and foretold. Now, the reason that I talk about and discuss these things in light of prophecy sometimes is to make it crystal clear that the God who foresaw the events that are taking place in today's world is the selfsame God who promised that his hand of protection would never leave his children. We are hid under the shadow of his wing, under the shadow of his covering, and it is there that we can rest and be assured that no harm will come to us. Now, another thing that happened within the span of the week that I was off the air was that Lady Justice decided to take a holiday. Or at least it decided it no longer liked to be blindfolded. So no charges were filed against Hillary Clinton, although General Petraeus was prosecuted for a lot less. But you know what? No one was really surprised by the Attorney General deciding not to go forward. How can you file charges against someone whose husband got on the plane of the Attorney General and started reminiscing about grandkids and such? And, you know, if you believe that all that took place on that airplane was talk of grandchildren, I've got some prime beachfront I'd like to sell you in Death Valley. By all accounts, you know, and this is the sad reality, this is the definition of banana republic. By all accounts, the fix is in, and everyone seems to be falling in line. And the only spoiler to the globalist plans seems to be on the Republican side. And all the buzz right now is about who Donald Trump will choose as his vice presidential running mate. So that about gets us caught up, don't you think, with the news. And in the little time that we have left, which isn't very much, I want to answer a question or two. And our first question comes from Cynthia in Nebraska. And Cynthia says, can you please expound on John 3:16, specifically the word begotten? And what she is referring to is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, personally, I like to focus on that word only, rather than the word begotten, because begotten has been interpreted in various ways, including from the Greek, and it means either birthed from or cleaved from. But what the word only signifies and what it tells us as believers was that Jesus was singular. Whatever begotten means, Jesus was the only one begotten of God. So the whole doctrine that Jesus and Lucifer are somehow brothers, that flies out the window. And any denomination that teaches that doctrine is teaching heresy, because the word tells us God gave his only begotten Son. So I believe that begotten means cleaved from or separated from. So his Son, God cleaved his Son from himself. This is why they share a nature, but they're two distinct beings. The Holy Spirit being the third person of the Trinity. But the thing that we must focus on, I think the key to it, is the only. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. So there are no more. And yet God gave him so that those who believe in him might be saved. We need to ascertain what is known. And sometimes we need to leave the unknowns to God. And with that, I'm just going to read a quick email that Gino forwarded me. And I'm going to pass it over to him because, wow, our time is up. It says, "Dear Michael, one of your best Light of Truth uploads yet. Thank you." She says thank you, and I say thank you back now. "Your listeners must be a fiery bunch if you regularly get angry emails." I don't know if they're fiery, but they're contentious sometimes. "I particularly enjoyed this one, so thank you for your objective views on Trump and the answer to the vexing the Holy Spirit question. Keep it up and bring it on. Praying for you and your family, your sister in Yeshua, Tamara from New Zealand." So we have a listener in New Zealand. Thank you, Tamara, for listening. I will get to the rest of the questions. I know there were a couple more on next week's broadcast, and we're going to start off with the questions next week if nothing else happens between now and then, but chances are good that something will likely happen. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for your prayers. And Gino, it's all you.
Thank you, Michael. A lot of food for thought today and very good program. I really believe we need to blow a trumpet and keep getting the word out. So I want to urge people that can, please go to the website, handofhelp.com. We do have a video of the Message for America. It's called Wake Up America, a DVD. I would definitely urge people to show that, to give it to their pastor, to show it in their home. Also, two Dreams and Visions booklets, one by Michael Bovea and one with Dimitri Dudeman's Messages from God. Again, you can go to the website, handofhelp.com. If you have questions for Michael, please email them at lightoftruthhandofhelp.com. May God bless you and strengthen you. Thank you all for listening to The Light of Truth.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Bovea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all leaving, turning upside down. Help me to stand for what's right. If I'm the only one to fight. What a show.